Ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready to prepare to start our meeting, I was trying to get a count. I was looking at the code. Since I know most of the people here for the public hearing, first of all, you know, if we could leave the, I guess as relates public comment for the non-hearing ish area. But the other part, just so for you guys and for clarification purposes, the code clearly says that each side for and against gets 10 minutes. So I was trying to get an idea of how many people are here or against it, so I can give you a rough idea how many minutes. Okay, that's about 10. Okay, well, okay, 12. So just so you know, I've got the max, the code gives me 10 minutes for and 10 minutes against. I just want you to be real clear so you understand the protocol that we have to follow. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and start our city council meeting. I've called a meeting to order. Ms. City Clerk, would you please call the roll of the City Council?
Thank you. The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Fortis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Pallon.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses Smallwood.
Absent.
Mr. Mayor, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you so much. Pastor Dorsey, sir, would you come on up and would everyone please stand for prayer.
Let me begin by saying good evening to each and everyone. May we pray.
Good evening.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity to be able to come. Amen. Representing the city of Fallon. We ask, Lord, there are blessings upon our mayor, upon our council, upon our city. Protect those, dear Lord, that live within the city, those that is passing through the city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I understand it's been a while since we've been in meetings. With that being said, pledge of allegiance, and we don't have any proclamations, but I'd just like to make a acknowledgement. Last night, the neighboring neighborhood, Orchard Street, had a major fire that I was made aware of last night. And one of your residents, actually, she's still here, Ms. Kennedy, wanted to just publicly announce that I was going to thank our fire department for all that they did all during the night as well as during the day to take care of that family that that suffered that loss last night. So, again, I just want to commend our fire department and our public safety general and police officers that was on site to help those families endure that loss. So, again, thank you so much for a job
you.
Well done.
Thank you.
I want to also just commend another gentleman that is a Fairburn graduate from Creekside High School that just won the at least a roster spot on the Cleveland Browns and coincidentally lives right across the street from me. So, we're very excited about that that success. At this moment, can I entertain a motion to adopt our city council agenda?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Heath.
Motion made and properly second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Give me one second. At this point, approval of the city council meeting that commenced on May the 9th, 2022. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Mayor Pro Tem Fortis Jones.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, we will have 30 minutes will be allocated for a public comment. Each speaker will be limited to 3 minutes. However, the speaker may transfer his or her time to another speaker, but no speaker shall be permitted to speak for more than 6 minutes. Further in the event, if there's more than 10 speakers desire to speak, each speaker will be limited now to 2 minutes. And issues raised at this time will be generally referred to the city administrator for review. Responses will be rendered at a later date. Ms. City Clerk, how many speakers do we have?
We have two.
We have two speakers. Could you please call our first speaker?
Honey Williams.
Ms. Williams.
Councilman and all those are present, I yield my 3 minutes over to Ellen Stigall.
The next speaker is Ellen Stigall.
Okay. So, Ms. think I have a total of 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, ma'am. How you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello. I've been here in Fairburn for 47 years. My family been here almost 100 years in Fairburn. And I'm looking at is that when we're out riding around in Fairburn, and I'm trying my best to figure out, I pretty much don't have a whole bunch of problem with what the situation we got going on building. Was building in Fairburn, we do need to have a lot of stuff changing. But right here by Oz Pizza, where we had to turn off, why can't we have that back there? We need that part back. Coming in front of Food Depot, someone is going to tear their vehicle up because it's been cut off and been making a sharp point. And I have had a couple of people to actually have done that to their vehicle and messed it up. These medians in the middle of the highway, why? We don't need those. They need to be moved. You cannot be at a red light. I'm sitting there with a semi-truck right here on Main Street. I need to turn off to get somewhere. You can't get there. We got these medians with no flowers in it but some weeds in it. Wasting time, wasting taxpayer money. I understand that it was some of the ideal, but I don't understand why was that part voted in and when it's not being utilized like it needs to. When you're parking in front of Oz Pizza or in front of Subway, what about for the people that have handicapped, that cannot walk a long distance, that you don't have no handicap space there? They say park over in Casablanca. Why should a handicapped person have to park over in Casablanca, walk across the street to do business when it shouldn't have to? And then you cannot back out where it used to be when you have a turning lane to veer off to that right. You can't do it. You catch pure hell getting out. You literally got to get out your car to see and to get someone to stop in order for you to back out. That is not right to anyone. I understand having the sidewalk. Yes, we do have some, need some of the sidewalk, but we don't need that much to where it got to cut off that right turn. And then you cannot get into the store or do anything where you need to get in to make that left turn. You're going to have to come in the back way. We shouldn't have to do that. And then if you come in and turn, you're going to hit a car head on. That's not right. You know, here in the back of me on Bay Street and Federal Road, it's an accident there. Out of the month, I would say five times, too many out of that month. You walk out in your backyard, bam, a car, a truck is getting hit. I have almost got hit head on myself because coming out, you cannot see around this person in bushes. What can we do about this? What can changes that we can make here in Fairburn? I'm not saying that you got to make a whole bunch of changes. I do understand it's going to cost money to get some things removed up out of Fairburn, up on this main stretch. And I have no problem with them doing that. It's going to take a minute, which is already doing anyway, when they keep working up there, when they don't ever get it fixed. We got where the light's taking too long. We got people where blocking the intersection. You got to lay on your horn for them to even back up. Why there's no one there to be right there across from the underpass in front of Oz Pizza down by the bridge in order for us not to have that blocked off. And cars know that that light is too long in the first beginning. And why the heck have we got these lights, these turn signal lights, and they're not operating what they need to operate? If we're going to sit there and wait for the car to go, we should have those arrows turning green for the cars to turn first, and then the other cars can move backwards and forward. That don't make any sense. Get that to work for us. We are sitting up there at like a sitting thumb. I sat at the red light for 5 minutes. That's 5 minutes too long for me. To where I got to now take a detour to get to where I need to get to, because you can't make a right turn. No turning on red. Okay, if we can't have that right turn, at least have that light to turn like it needs to. It's just ridiculous. And then last but not least, why can't we have our own dispatchers? I'm tired of calling Fulton County, and then they give you attitude. How you know this is happening? How you know that's happening when you witness it? You got to go through hell and hot water to get an officer to dispatch it. By the time that officer get here, I'm shot, killed, or hurt, because they take too long to get that message to that officer. And then when you have the dispatchers to give you attitude and say, hey, we're getting someone out there, 10 minutes have passed by. I have watched it happen. I have watched a man's house get broken into because it takes so long for a dispatcher to get to that information to the police officer, and it should not take that long. We should be able to have funds to find out and to be able to do someone, to hire someone to come in and do our own dispatcher for the city of Fairburn. We had before. It was no problem. Why can't we have that back to utilize what we got here in Fairburn? Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comment. The city administrator will, give you at a later date. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we have approved our agenda of public comment. At this time, Mr. City Administrator, you want to come up and introduce actually Ms. Peak.
The first item is an ordinance to rezone 2021159 DRB Group Georgia LLC. This is a public hearing. This is for Mayor and Council to consider the rezoning of 18.226 acres from R2 single family residential to R4 single family residential, based on the proposed developer's conformity to the 2040 comprehensive plan and future land use map. Staff recommendation is approval conditional.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Tonight you have before you a rezoning. The applicant is DRB Group Georgia. They are requesting to rezone 18.226 acres from R2 single family residential to R4 single family residential to develop a 73 lot single family residential subdivision with frontage on Elder Street and Strickland Street. The amenities for the proposed development include green space, a picnic area, a pergola, benches, and a walking trail. One full movement vehicular access will be provided on the south side of Elder Street, aligning with Fireside Way. The future land use map has the subject properties designated as town center mixed use, and this character area is appropriate for mixed use, institutional, educational, and residential uses. The appropriate zoning district for the town center mixed use character areas are R3 and R4 single family residential, RCT, townhouse condominium, RM12 and RM36, multifamily residential, and O&I, office institutional. The applicant has hosted several community meetings and made changes to the site plan based on feedback from staff and from the community, such as reducing the number of lots from 86 to 73, reducing the number of entrances from 2 to 1, adding fencing along the eastern perimeter borderline adjacent to the existing residential lots to provide additional buffering, increased open space, and added off-street parking spaces throughout the development. The housing supplies, we all know, is in high demand. The Metro Atlanta Housing Strategy, which has been conducted by the Atlanta Regional Commission, states that the City of Fairburn's housing strategy should consist of the following: increase housing supply, promote housing stability, preserve affordable supply, and develop leadership and collaboration on affordability. As of April 1st, 2020, the city's population is 16,493. The city's population has grown from 12,950 in 2010 to 16,493 currently. A continued increase in population is predicted, with an estimated population of 21,570 people by 2040, which is a 37.2% increase. Residential demands are based on the population projections. Therefore, as the population increases, the need for housing will also increase. Staff believes that an increase in residential density will provide a greater opportunity to attract quality commercial development within the city, particularly in the historic downtown and Highway 74 corridors, and address the need for more housing. In conclusion, the proposed 73-lot residential subdivision conforms with the 2040 Comprehensive Plan and Future Land Use Map. Single-family residential lots ranging from R2 single-family residential to R4 single-family residential are in the immediate vicinity of the subject properties. Staff believes that the rezoning of the property to R4 single-family residential will not adversely affect the surrounding properties and cause detriment to the public health, safety, and general welfare of the city's residents. Staff's recommendation is approval conditional. Should the mayor and council decide to rezone the request, staff recommends the conditions listed on page 10 of the staff report.
Okay, thank you. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to open the public hearing, and what I'm going to do, who's controlling that clock? someone that's putting time on this. Cause I want to be. I want.
City clerk.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Do me a favor, and I'm gonna. I can't get 10. What I'm gonna do, ladies and gentlemen, as again per our code, and I double checked it right before our meeting started. What I want to do, in all fairness, so that each side will get to hear as many people, I'll leave it up. Actually, in this case, I counted right at 10 people or 12. So if you, as you speak, my suggestion to those of for and against, I would probably limit myself to a minute so that most of your peers can be heard. But at the 10-minute mark, I'll have to terminate regardless of how many people we've heard. We will start with the people that are in support. We'll start with the people that are in opposition, then go into the people. You start with, okay, I should start. Okay. Okay, let me do that, including the applicant. Okay, so at this point, we'll start with the people that are in support of the project.
Good evening, Michelle Battle. Good evening, Michelle Battle with Battle Law, 3562 Habersham at North Lake, Tucker, Georgia. Here on behalf of the applicant, DRB, we have been working very diligently on this project, as you know. When we look at the PowerPoint that you see before you, we are seeking, as staff has indicated, to rezone to R4. I'd like to reiterate, obviously, the things that staff has said in support of the application. We can go to the next slide, and we'll just kind of move through these. Again, we are seeking to rezone from R2 to R4. When we started this project, we actually came in initially with a townhome community, which was also allowed under the current land use designation. However, after speaking with the community, it became very apparent that there was really no support for that type of product. So as a result, we elected to go to a single-family detached product. That led us to 89 units that we initially came forward with. That was later dropped again to 80 units, and we have now dropped that to a total of 73 single-family detached units in order to try and address the issues that have been raised by the community, particularly concerning issues surrounding traffic congestion and simply density concerns. We do have the passive recreation features, and including the interconnected walking paths, the picnic tables, the picnic areas, the pergola, and the other facilities located on the site. If we can go to the next slide, you will see here, it's a little small, but this was the original, this is the updated site plan that we have for the site, which now shows the 73 units. We did have units that had frontage on Strickland. We have now removed those units so that all you have are trees and landscaping that will be along the Strickland side, and then the pergola and the walking trail. We've also managed to provide fencing along the perimeter of the site on the eastern boundary line adjacent to those existing single-family homes, and providing some buffering on that side in addition to lots that have longer driveways for those who may have larger SUVs and the like that may need a pace for parking. If we can go to the next slide. Again, you can see here the future land use map and the zoning map. Again, we're in the town center mixed-use area, and I think it's just really important to understand that the city has indicated that this is a spot for density, and we are providing density, but certainly not at the level that you would see if we were looking at some type of townhome or multifamily product, which staff has indicated is permissible under the land use designation as a permissible zoning. We go to the next slide. Again, these are just the general notes from the development. We are looking at 25-foot front yard exterior setbacks on the interior. While we are 15 feet, we are from the center line, from the back of curb. What we can tell you is that there will be no cars that will be overhanging or vehicles overhanging into the right-of-way. With regards to the setbacks on the side yards, we're at 10 feet, rear yard at 25 feet. Our minimum lot size is 5,000 square feet, but I think we're actually a little larger than that now that we have only 73 units on the site. If we can go to the next slide. This is a little closer outline of the project. You can see that we have the mail kiosk as well as open park space around the detention facility. We actually have a walking trail there as well. There'll be a walking trail and sidewalks, should I say, into the community. We also have an additional emergency only entrance into the cul-de-sac where you see the little red area at the top on the Elder side. That is for emergency vehicles only. So that way we do have two points of entry if there is some type of emergency. Otherwise, all of the residents will use that one entry point. And then we have the sidewalks throughout. We think this is a very nice, condensed community. The homes, and we can go to the next slide. You'll see here, that's the emergency access point, and then the deeper driveways on the one side and the internal sidewalks. I'm moving fast, if we can go to the next slide. What has changed, again, we went from 86 to 80, now to 73 homes. So I think that shows the commitment of this developer to trying to hear what the community has said and to take the comments that we received from you all as well. We've increased our total open space from 16% to 30%. We've added a front yard stagger so that all the homes will not just be kind of in one line. It'll be staggered, so there will be some differentiation there, which also adds to the aesthetic of the community. Interconnectivity throughout the community with the walking trails, adequate front yard space for all lots, and fencing along the eastern perimeter. We can go to the next slide. You can start to see some of the features that will be implemented. Obviously, we are trying to make sure that this is a very picturesque community. DRB is very committed to making sure that the amenity areas are nice and inviting to those who will be living within the community. If we can go to the next slide, you can begin to see some of the homes that will be presented, and we can just kind of run through those at 2475 square feet. We just keep going. We just roll them on out. 2075 with the Millhaven, the Zoe, all of these brick fronts and fiber cementitious materials. When we look at what the pricing on these will be, the price point actually has increased. We are now in the mid threes as a result of the reduction in the number of units. And again, we are here with respectful request for approval of this application based on the staff's recommendation, and we are here to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? There's 3 minutes remaining. Is there anyone else here wish to speak in support of? Go ahead.
Thank you. Inga Kennedy at 110 Orchard Street. I am here to speak in support of this rezoning. Over the past several months, as Ms. Battle mentioned, there have been several meetings. I've participated in all of them except the last one. They have compromised and been willing to address some of the issues that were brought before them. This type of development is sorely needed in the downtown area to revitalize a declining downtown and aging housing and population. I listened to your presentation on the R3s, or the three R's, that you shared at a recent meeting with interest. To deny this zoning would be a stark contradiction to what you presented as the refresh, rebrand, and renew. Sorry about that. During the presentation, a Catalyst housing site south of Broad was presented, which almost mimics the layout and the schematic that you saw and that the developer has presented today. In addition, you called out several densities from the comprehensive plan that you wanted to achieve, including medium density at a quarter acre or less, which this proposal achieves. It aligns very well with that. Everything from the three R's align with this development. But you did point out that you are waiting until 2023 to get started. You have the opportunity to begin this process right now, so why wait? While you're waiting, though, housing investors are riding through our neighborhoods and mailing information to us, and I have my list of envelope of mail that I receive on a consistent basis asking to purchase our home so that they can come in and turn and flip home ownership into renters. If that happens to this area, if home ownership becomes the minority and renters become the majority, you're going to have a very difficult time achieving that R3 opportunity and program. So that's very important because they're coming through fast and furious. And the final thing is that during your presentation, you talked about the city of Decatur that you admired. I admire that too. It's a really nice downtown. But guess what they did about 30 years ago? They realized that they were declining as well. And they decided that in order to reverse that decline from the downtown, they needed to bring housing downtown. And so they put a plan together, and they have stuck to it. They've had downtown housing for a very, very long time. And then all of the revitalization started and followed, and all of the planning that was mentioned in the presentation has followed. They're doing their recreation plan. They're doing their downtown master plan. We need the same thing. We have to have housing downtown. And now is the time to start. We have the perfect opportunity, and I ask that you approve this rezoning. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. At this time, we'll start with anyone that's in opposition to this item. And again, a total of 10 minutes will be allocated to the item, to this area. Our first speaker wants to come up. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening. Derek Smart. I live on 148 Spring Street, and I've been there about 15 years now. And while I appreciate everything the developer has done to meet with the community and listen to our, I guess, grievances is a good word for it, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to us as a city to manage any restrictions we put on them as far as rental capacity or anything like that. We already have a poor track record of doing that. There are houses on Spring Street that are Spring Street is R3, single-family residential. There are houses on that street that are split into condos with A and B units because, hey, who wouldn't want to make more money renting more units? As far as the safety concern about population density, on Spring Street, I already have to listen to gunshots every weekend. So it's hard for me to believe that adding 73 more homes, several hundred more people moving in, that we would have fewer problems than we do today. So I advise the council to really consider, are we willing to accept the responsibility for having this population density come in when we're already having a problem managing what we have today? Thank you.
Next speaker.
Mayor, members of the City Council, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. This is kind of like deja vu all over again, because I'm sure you all have heard all the opposition. You've either face-to-face with some of the citizens, emails, Zoom, all the Zoom meetings, telephone calls, and so forth. So nothing you'll hear here tonight in opposition is going to be new. My only thing is on Strickland Street and Elder Street, there are 70 homes. Now we're going to plop down a development right in the middle of those homes that have been here complying to R2 regulations, and it just doesn't fit. You know, you have already approved zoning over on Vickers for 50 individual homes as well as 112 townhomes, which that fits because that's an open area over there. This is not an open area. You're taking a subdivision and plopping it right down into the middle of an established neighborhood. But the problem then becomes traffic. And when some of our folks went around doing a petition, it wasn't a matter of any opposition to the project. The first question always came up about traffic flow. Where are all these vehicles going to go? If you've got all these new townhomes and houses on Vickers, I can't imagine in the morning trying to get out onto 138. There'll be a stoplight down there. But then people will start going down Elder trying to get out on Campbellton. So it'll just be a traffic nightmare. Now, excuse me. But the final thing is this in no way is wanting to infringe upon the property owner's right to develop the property. The property can still be developed under R2, just like all the other residents in that area. Thank you.
Can I get your name, sir?
Floyd McKenzie, 385 Elder Street.
Next speaker. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, my name is Russell Hargraves at 237 Strickland Street, directly across the street from where the construction is proposed to happen or development. I do have a few quick questions on what I've read on the agenda for tonight in this redevelopment. I'm trying to find out why 260 Elder and 270 Elder are still being rezoned. 260 came into play with the first of the five versions of this redevelopment that we've seen with the townhomes. It hasn't since. So I really don't understand why they're still there to be redeveloped. Also, I'm kind of curious, which version of R4 zoning are they going to be held to when they redevelop? From my understanding, you know, everyone relates back to the 2040 comprehensive plan. Excuse me. From my understanding, R4 was defined one way at that point in time. Somewhere around 2019, from a conversation I had with Ms. Peaks on, I believe it was her March 9th meeting, that had been changed after the comprehensive plan. And then as of March 28th of this year, it's been changed back again. So I'm curious, are they going to be allowed to have 500 square feet for a minimum lot, or are they going to be held to the 10,890, which is going to be four homes per acre, which was there when the comprehensive plan was established and is there now? Are they going to be able to have a 50-foot wide lot versus a 75-foot wide lot? I mean, that will mean a lot to us. I've heard of other things come up. I've read through some of the documentation. The Metro Atlanta housing strategy that was brought up, there's a comment in Ed Online, too, to stabilize existing residents. Things we want for stabilization, they've brought up that these homes are going to be in the mid-30s, or excuse me, the mid-300s. What then happens to our taxes for those of us who are here now? In one of the Zoom meetings, one of the council members brought up property taxes in this area. What happens to the existing residents? And a big one that keeps coming up repeatedly is traffic. What's going to happen to traffic in the area? I have a difficult time pulling out of Strickland to get on Broad Street constantly with the new construction. Our neighbor who spoke at the beginning of this, I could not agree more. I couldn't quit nodding my head. I'm nervous every time I go to Oz trying to back out. I sat at Oz and eat and watched the semis turn. And with the congestion down there, we're struggling. I do also agree with Floyd, the comment he made earlier. We've got 112 homes that were just approved. On page 111 of the documentation for tonight, we have 73 homes going up. There's another 53 being considered, another 175 being considered, another 288 being considered. What's that going to do to our traffic, and how's that going to be addressed prior to this being rezoned? That's all going to affect us. We can't widen Broad Street. We can't take away from the railroad tracks. We can't take away from downtown. I don't know how we widen Strickland, how we widen Elder, but we've really got a problem I wish could be addressed before we address rezoning. Thank you.
Okay, next speaker. Anyone else wish to speak? 3 minutes left. Go ahead.
I'm Penelope Ludlow. I'm at 132 Strickland Street. Good evening, City Council and Mayor. I'm not going to take up much of your time because we have addressed this over and over. And as Rusty said, you have nowhere to put a sidewalk on Strickland Street. We have children. We have mothers with carriages. We have people that walk their dogs down there. There is no expansion area for that. And with 73 houses going up, which, by the way, the developer called barracks in the last meeting, this is not conducive to our neighborhood. They want to build 40 houses on there. We're all for that. They can do that. 40 houses. That's what we will accept. Thank you.
How much time I got left?
218.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. I'll keep it brief because a lot of what I want to say has already been said. I just want to voice my support for the way that my fellow neighbors and the community has talked to you already. But we... everything I think I want to say has been said. We're worried about the traffic. We're worried about the population that's coming in, the increased density of the population. And then we see that there are, you know, a project needs to be beneficial for both sides. So at this point, we just don't see the value for the residents that are already here. And I think that this is a beautiful, beautiful division, but it doesn't fit the aesthetic of the already established neighborhoods and homes. There's a bunch of cookie-cutter homes. And then I just also wanted to say that I think when we initially brought this up, we had three council members who were leaning toward voting against the rezoning, and then they were asked to go back and table this and take a look at R3. But the developers never took a look at R3. They just came back with more R4 choices and saying, oh, well, if we take it down to 50 houses, maybe they'll be happy. So the request to look at R3 was never met. So I'm sure there's 100 things that I should say, but I just, I'm not good at this.
Can I get your name, ma'am?
Sherry Rivers.
Thank you.
And that concludes our public hearing. I will now close the public hearing. And so, I'm sorry. There is an authorized 5-minute rebuttal by the developer that you authorized.
Yeah, Michelle Battle with Battle Law. I think a couple of things. Number one, traffic, while we certainly can understand the challenges that the city has surrounding that, is not a basis for denying the rezoning. We know that traffic congestion is something that we are fighting throughout the Metro Atlanta area. It will continue until, you know, not only cities but people change how they decide to move throughout communities. I'm always intrigued by the amount of emphasis we will place on traffic, but we also, you know, how many of us carpool and do the other things that are necessary to help reduce the impact of traffic within our neighborhoods. So we certainly hope that that will not be used as a litmus test as to whether or not this project can be approved. I think the other thing is that we did look at the R3, we looked at the R4, is my understanding, and legally, that because we filed this application before any changes were made to the R4 district regulations, that we are allowed to proceed under the R4 as it stood at the time that we filed our application. So therefore, we would be allowed to move forward with the square footage of the lots as originally proposed. We did reduce the total number of lots to 73, again, in an effort to try and address the issues that were raised by the community. But we simply cannot have a viable product at 40 units. And I find that really interesting that comments came up about, well, what will happen to other people's property taxes now that our values have raised to 350? Well, it raised to 350 because we had to reduce the number of lots. The infrastructure stays the same. So that means that there's fewer homes to spread that cost out. So if you reduced us down to 40 lots, well, then you'd have even higher priced homes that would be located on the property because somebody would have to absorb, again, the infrastructure costs. We believe that it is not the market in this area, particularly for the homes that we are looking to build, that we are in that sweet spot at that 350. We feel very comfortable in that price point. And also have to remember, that is the initial price point. That is like going into the car dealership and you're buying the base level car. How many people actually roll out in the base level car that doesn't have any bells and whistles and bling to it? Most people want to come back and add things to that home. They want to have upgrades. They want to have upgrades in the interior, on the exterior. So we know that the price point of the home is going to be actually higher than 350. We're probably pushing towards the fours. And you also have to remember that the economy is still moving. And so that means that there's a strong likelihood that by the time we get ready to actually build these homes, the price point may be even higher than that. So we have to balance out a number of things to make certain that we are putting out a product that not only will be marketable today, but will be marketable tomorrow, and that will stay within a range that is reasonable based on what it is that we have to put forth. We know that this is going to be a great opportunity and a great product. The city has already indicated a need and a desire for density within this area, as indicated again on the land use plan, and we are squarely within there, and we're not at the high end of that density. We're actually at the low end of that density. And the R2 zoning designation actually is not even permitted under the current land use, so we're be no continuing to develop under that R2. So with that, again, we would respectfully request approval of the application as proposed with the conditions submitted by staff. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I now will officially close the public hearing. Members of Council, you have before you an ordinance to rezone 202-1159 DRB Group. You have a recommended action for Mayor and Council to consider the rezoning of 18.226 acres from R2 single family residential to R4 single family residential based on the proposed development conformity to the 2040 comprehensive plans for future land use map. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, so a motion has been made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
A second. A motion made. Any comments? Council. I can't see Mr. Whitmore. Is there any comments by Mr. Whitmore?
Oh, thank you, Mayor. My question is for Ms. Battle.
Who is it?
And before I ask the question, Ms. Battle, just want to publicly even thank you for looking at the concerns of the residents and actually reducing it from the original number down to the 73 single lots. But my question to you, and I didn't see it in the paperwork and maybe I missed it, I'm looking for covenants as well as a percentage of rentals. I did hear one of the concerns about houses being used as rentals, and we historically have worked with developers in stating that, number one, you will have covenants, and number two, we are looking at a 5% rental versus not having anything at all. Are you planning to have a HOA established with covenants and also with having those restrictions, ma'am?
Yes, I believe we can put that into the staff conditions if they're not already there. With regards to the Mandatory Homeowners Association, we had already agreed to that with a 5% rental cap, and we are willing to stick to that, yes.
Okay. Also, I did hear some of the concerns about the traffic, and again, I think Ms. Kennedy's facts were right on point in dealing with the greater Atlanta area. And as people are moving out to places like Fairburn and other cities, we are seeing an increase in traffic. And just for the sake of conversation, as far as the semi-trucks making that left-hand turn or even that right-hand turn, that would be a police issue because that is not, and I repeat, that is not a truck route where they can be doing it. So if that is being done, that's something we need to be looking at from a policing perspective. And the other comment that I have, I see here, the other comment that I have, and I think staff has already provided it, because looking at the comprehensive plan for 2040, you meet all the benchmarks there, as well as the future land use map. Again, in looking at what we have being presented to the city of Fairburn in a way of growth, being very strategic and controlled, I personally believe that this would fit, especially when you look at the comp plan and the future land use map. And I thank you for going back to the drawing board to look at additional things as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Ms. Davis.
Yes. It's Ms. Bowles, before
yes,
you before you sit down, I would just like to say to you the flexibility as a developer that you've shown in reference to our citizens and their requests, in reference to council's request, is appreciated.
Thank you.
It seems to me that you really have a desire to develop in the neighborhood with listening skills first. And I really commend you in making the various changes that you have made.
Thank you.
There is a tension as it relates to being a council member in making decisions, such as development in neighborhoods. There's this tension of what's best for the city, and the tension is the other side is what's best for our citizens. And personally, and I believe all of my colleagues, take this decision-making process very seriously because we want the best for our city. We also want the best for our citizens who live in the city. Without our citizens, there would be no city.
Absolutely.
So I want to commend you for the flexibility that you have shown. So I want to thank you for that. Now, to our citizens, I want to thank you for your engagement. I want to thank you for attending the various meetings that were put out. I want to thank you for your concerns in reference to the development that is coming within your area. I love to have citizens that are very engaged in what is going on in the city because it gives us a perspective. It gives us some of the things that what you want to see. But again, there's this tension for us as to what's best for the city and what's best for the citizens, and that's not an easy sometimes decision to make. One of the things that I wanted to sort of find out, because what the development is proposing meets what's in the 2040 comprehensive plan. There's tick-offs to everything. And looking at the 2040 comprehensive plan, I've gone back to it. I wanted to just, and I hope this is permissible to, it's proper protocol, I want to ask a question of the audience, but all they have to do is raise their hands, no speaking. Is that, can
Mr. City Attorney,
is that permissible?
That's permissible.
Okay. I want to show hands of the citizens that are here that participated in the five-year update to the comprehensive plan, which also includes the future land use plan. Those of you that participated in those engagements, and there were several engagements, show of hands that participated in that. I see one hand. Thank you.
Okay.
Just show of hands. that is what we're trying to do. What was decided through community involvement, through staff involvement, and I think our council involvement. So we are going by our plan. And one of the things in reference to making a city work and grow is that all the participants have to sort of participate. So this is our plan, and we have to adhere to our plan. It touches all the marks and everything. And one question before I finish, I want to ask Ms. Peaks. The R4 zoning is definitely compliant with the 2020 comp plan, which also includes the future land use plan. Can you please explain what that means and why is that important from, you know, a planning perspective for the city of Fairburn?
Sure. So the 2040 comprehensive plan, when I came to Fairburn in 2014, the 2015, the plan was adopted in April of 2015. So I'll just start really from the beginning. So the 2015 plan was adopted in April of 2015, and it goes out to 2035. So every 5 years, the comp plan goes through an update. So we went through this recent update, and which was the 5 years, and basically all of the character areas that we currently have, really nothing really new to the comp plan. Every 5 years, you have a short-term work program that you have to update. And basically what you do is you go through that to see what accomplishments have the city made within that 5 years. If you've made any changes, you document those changes. And if there's any changes you want to make as far as your character areas, if the vision of the city has changed, the goals of the city as it relates to development changes, you make those changes during that time period. Now, you can make changes within that 5 years if something happens and the city say, okay, we want to go into another direction. You can update it or do minor changes within that 5 years, but that's not customary. Typically, you adopt a plan and you just kind of, you know, go with the plan for 5 years until you do your major update. Now, the R4 is a zoning district that's appropriate for the Town Center mixed-use character area. The Town Center mixed-use character area is really conducive to the downtown, the core of downtown, and some of the surrounding neighborhoods. And it calls for your dense zoning districts, which your R3, your R4, your RM12, which is your multifamily, your RM36, your RCT, which is your townhouses, your condominiums, your office, your institutional, which is your O&I. So all of those dense residential zoning districts are strategic to the Town Center mixed-use character area because the goal is you want your density close to your downtown. And with the vision and the goal of the city is to have a revitalized, a vibrant, walkable, pedestrian friendly, commercial friendly, business friendly corridor, you want residential rooftops close to your downtown to be able to support the businesses in downtown as well as activities at the stage and courtyard. So it's really the city's approach to how you want to really move the goals and visions of downtown Fairburn.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Peaks.
Any other comments, Council? Mr. Heath, go ahead.
Can I ask the audience, have you wanted to see new restaurants, sit-down restaurants and stuff like that in our community? A new grocery store like Kroger or something along those lines? Well, we have reached out to many corporations in the past, and this is my 13th year being on the council. And they keep coming back that we don't have rooftop count. And rooftop count is the emphasis that we are able to support that store by the population that we have in our city. And, of course, with that, if you have nice sit-down places, there's going to be people coming from out of the area to go to those. But I'm tired of having to, myself, personally, I'm tired of having to drive to Fayetteville to eat at a Mexican restaurant or a seafood restaurant or Noonan for a seafood restaurant or whatever. And in order to do this, we have got to get the backside going. In other words, we got to have the rooftop counts. So this gives us an opportunity for that. So I just hope that ever how the vote goes, I don't know how it's going to go, but that people will be understanding that it's not like black and white as far as on a piece of paper stating, you know, well, you do this and this is going to happen. It's just that you've got to do planning. And you got to be able to bring those businesses into your area. I don't know how many of you have been to Cracker Barrel lately, but the fact of the matter is that they may have one waitress working to serve you the food. Well, if we had more businesses, sit down restaurants and that type of stuff, then you could plan more community activities. You could do more with your families and everything like that and not have to worry about driving to Noonan or driving to Tyrone or wherever else to be able to do those things. So I just hope that you understand ever how the vote goes. Like I say, I have no idea but that if we don't get it, then having that plan in the future of having nice sit-down restaurants and grocery stores and stuff like that come into our area is going to be pushed off even further. So that's just food for thought. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comment by council?
Yes, I have a question. Is the developer willing to reduce in any way, shape, form, or fashion the number of properties that you're going to put on that acreage?
Sir, we have now reduced three times, so we are at the bottom of what we can do and still make this a viable product. So the 73 is as low as we can go.
Any other member of council?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Battle. I appreciate the fact that the question that Councilman Whitmore asked about the covenants and an HOA and the percentage of rental, that is very, very important. But I wanted to ask a couple questions about issues that several of the residents brought up, and that is regarding sidewalks. They were saying that they didn't see how sidewalks would be available given the width of the streets. Mm-hmm. Could you address that issue?
So we will have to do whatever right-of-way dedication is necessary in order to do the sidewalk installation on our side of the street. So we are required to install sidewalks along the frontage. Our primary frontage is on Elder. We don't have as much frontage on the Strickland side. We only have a very small area on Strickland, but on the Elder side, we will dedicate enough right-of-way in order to put in both the sidewalks and any decel lane that would be required by the city. So that would be our responsibility.
Ms. Jones, could you yield? Because I want to ask Ms. Tarika, would you follow up on the information, the basic answer to the question she asked, but I want the city's perspective of what she just said.
Yes. Thank you.
Excuse me. Thank you for yielding.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She's right. Sidewalks are required. It's part of the zoning conditions as well. So the developer would have to put in sidewalks on all frontages on Elder Street and Strickland Street, 5-foot sidewalks.
That was my concern as relates to Strickland, because I'm not going to say it totally different, but it's a little different what you just said. So how much of Strickland would they have to actually do that?
From property line to property line.
From property line
on Strickland, the same on Elder.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ms. Jones. You still have the floor.
Ms. Pease. You had requested the original design called for two entrances into the development, and the revised condition is down to one. Could you explain why?
So the developer actually had two entrances, one on Strickland and one on Elder. Some of the feedback from the community only wanted the one entrance, and so the one entrance, the entrance on Strickland was taken off, and the primary entrance is now on Elder Street. So that was a reduction in entrances based on community feedback.
And is that for safety reasons?
Michelle, speak to the reason why.
We certainly were fine with the entrance on Strickland. However, after the community came back and indicated that they were vehemently opposed to that entrance point, we put that emergency entrance off of Elder as well. So on the PowerPoint, we showed that we've got the primary entrance, and then in red, there was a emergency-only access, so that if there were any emergency vehicles that needed to get into the community, they could still get in, even if that front entrance were blocked off.
Okay, but can you tell me why the residents?
They didn't want the additional. They didn't want the additional traffic on Strickland.
Okay, all right.
And I think one of the property owners that was directly across the street did not want that entrance point directly across from his home.
Okay, all right. And then the question that was raised as to why 260 Elder and 270 Elder. Why they needed to be rezoned?
I'm not sure the what the question was in reference to.
So the gentleman in the, didn't you raise that question?
All the property that comprises the acreage that we have were included in the application.
Oh, I see.
We're not asking for anything else.
Right. It's six properties. If you look at page 3, you'll see six properties that are included in the rezoning. 270 Elder, mm-hmm. 260 Elder, 0 Strickland Street, 246 Strickland, 294 Elder, and 296 Elder.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, and then my last question. Could you speak to infrastructure? What's there? What's going to be needed to support a development like this? Water flow, sewage, et cetera.
We do have our engineer here with us this evening. We will be putting in, and I don't know if we can put the site plan back up, but in addition to the right-of-way improvements that we will be making, we will also be making sure that we stay out of the stream buffer. We will have to put in our detention ponds to address any water runoff from the site. I believe we are accessible to sewer. So we will hook into the existing sewer system, and to the extent that there's any pipe upgrades that we will have to do, we will do whatever is required as we go through the land development process. So once we enter into, if this were approved and we go into the land development process, then the city and the county will let us know what improvements we will need to make over and above what we are already proposing.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And then lastly, it's just a comment,
yes,
no
ma'am.
Question. The comments that were so eloquently presented by Councilwoman Davis, I just want to echo those as well. When we had our council mayor retreat, one of the questions asked was, what keeps you up at night? And the one thing that I said that kept me up at night was the concern of the fact that we need housing, the fact that we need density downtown in order to meet all of the commercial and economic demands that you as citizens have requested, but that the conflict that has with what I have called you as one of our legacy communities. And believe you me, I have struggled for a very long time regarding this issue. Ms. Peaks mentioned that the comprehensive plan first done in 2015. I don't know if you said first done, but I remember that was my second year on council, and I remember the overwhelming participation of many of you when we were doing the comprehensive plan, when we were trying to generate ideas about what we wanted this community to look like. And I know as time passes, sometimes we forget those things and that it has a different impact when it hits us directly. But many of you said that you wanted the types of projects that is being presented here tonight. And as Councilman Heath has said, we have tried to ad nauseum to bring in quality businesses to support what you want in terms of restaurants, in terms of grocery stores, in terms of retail space. But we get hit over the head over and over and over again is that we don't have the density. We're trying to create this density, and we are trying to create this walkable community, which you have said that you want in this city. So what I am asking you from this point on is, as we have these community engagement sessions, planning, talking about what it is that we are wanting to do for this community, I need you to be present there just like you are here tonight, or call us or email us and let us know your opinions, because This is because of what you had said to us beginning in 2015 and continued on. And so I appreciate, though, your continued engagement and your continued expressing your opinions and raising your voice. But our job, you've elected us to do those things for the common good of the entire city of Fairburn. And that is what we are here to do. So thank you.
And I had one question, Mr. Ross. Just want to ask a question. A comment was made, and I guess I can ask the developer, but I want to ask you, Ms. Ross. One of the questions came up is the reason why R3 was never considered. Was that an accurate statement, or was it not?
Ms. Battle did answer that question.
Okay, I apologize. I missed it. Okay, yeah. I apologize.
We did consider R3. The problem is it would drop the density too low because of the unit size.
Okay,
of the lot
gotcha.
Size.
Yeah.
And increase the pricing of the housing.
And significantly increase
yes.
the price.
Gotcha.
Which is outside of affordability in this community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? One more questions? Mr. Whitmore, I can't see him, so I have to ask. Yes, ma'am.
Just for purposes of the motion, because the applicant has agreed to this rental cap of 5%, I just stated that the maker of the motion include that so that it's in the record as a zoning condition as well.
Okay.
And the HOA as well, correct?
The HOA
is
Mr. Mayor.
So just the rental.
Okay. What she's saying, can you just make in your motion to include the conditions, because you did not include any of the conditions.
Okay.
So your motion to approve the item with the conditions and include the 5% rental cap would take care of it.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor that's been amended to include the conditions and with a 5% rental cap.
Yes.
That being said, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
I'm opposed.
That motion carries.
Who was opposed?
Mr. Pallett.
Okay.
Okay. Next item.
The next item is a request for advanced disposal doing business as waste management for a consumer price index rate increase.
Second. Mr. City Manager.
Mr. Martin will present on this issue.
Okay, go ahead.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
All right. At this time, I would like to ask if Mr. Alan Owens is in audience. Mr. Alan Owens is a representative for waste management, and he also will have a short presentation. But before he start, I would like to give the council a little history of waste management. And as for to be clear for the record.
Hold on 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen, I've asked you to please to depart quietly. We're still in session. Thank you so much. Go ahead, sir.
As a little history behind which used to be Advanced Disposal, now doing business as Waste Management, they are the commercial aspect of our sanitation. They handle strictly the waste collection and the recycling services considered with commercial. They've been part of our affiliation with them since February 2006, and we have no major issues, and customers have been satisfied with their services. So at this time, what they're presenting and coming with is what we agreed upon when we renewed their contract was a CPI, which is Consumer Price Index, with the increase being a 4% for this term. They allowed that up under our contract, which is specifically 5.3, the rate adjustments due to significant changes in letter A, that once each year, the contractor may petition to adjust his rate upward or downward to reflect changes in the consumer price index, which have occurred during the preceding 12 months. However, the CPI increase may not exceed 4% in any given year. And at this time, I think there's a small presentation. Mr. Owens here would like to talk and expand a little on it.
Too slow. Okay. Go ahead, sir. It's two slides. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I don't have a presentation. I was here to answer any questions. Again, I am here representing Waste Management. This is the first time I've kind of been introduced to the city of Fairburn. I manage a lot of the municipalities in Fulton County and also in Clayton County, so I will make sure I have my business cards to everyone here, including Mr. Martin. I should have talked to him before, not to say there's a presentation, but again, I am here to answer any questions that the mayor and council may have.
Well, members of council, let me bring the item to the floor. You have before you for mayor and council to consider and approve the request for advanced disposal doing business as Waste Management for a consumer price index CPI rate increase of 4% effective June 1st, 2021. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second. Councilman Hayes.
Are there any questions or concerns?
Yes, Mayor. I have a question. Yes, could you state why 4% increase? What is driving that request for increase?
Typically, the consumer price index for water, sewer, and trash is actually higher than 4%. With inflationary costs, we all know about the labor shortage. I heard the young lady earlier talk about fixing kind of salaries. Well, we've been experiencing that really for the last 2 years. We know about fuel costs. It's going up. So the 4% that Mr. Martin said is actually on the low end of what the Consumer Price Index actually calls for.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. How much will this impact our citizens? This increase. What is it now, and what's the what will be the increase? Because on the other side of that, our citizens are impacted with a lot of everything is going up, and is this the appropriate? This will impact our citizens, right?
This is primarily commercial service, so this is to businesses.
Oh, these are to businesses.
There's not a direct impact. There could be an indirect.
Oh, yeah, indirect.
There's not a direct impact. Section 5.3 of the contract speaks to rate adjustments due to significant changes, and it actually contains language that says that they are permitted under the current contract, as approved by council, to increase up to 4% each year based on the Consumer Price Index nationally. In your packet, if you'll look, there's documentation that shows that the current CPI, Consumer Price Index, nationally is about 8.3%.
That's correct.
They're capped at 4% by contractual means, which means even though it's 8.3, they could not increase by any more than 4% in any given year. So this is essentially them petitioning to increase as the contract permits them to do. Now, if the Consumer Price Index were below 4%, and that would be a different discussion, but currently it's 8.3, okay. And so this is within the provisions of their contract.
That's right.
Okay, all right.
Any other questions, Mr. Mr. T?
Now, this 4%, is that on top of what we're already paying?
Yes. So the that's
business.
This is business.
But just for business.
Yeah, there's no cost to the city.
Got it.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
I said no budget impact.
Say that again.
Yes. The city does get, once they revenues at the end of the year, we get a portion of it.
I stand corrected. There's additional money coming in.
Additional, okay.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yes. Because, let's see.
So now
it says there is no budget impact to the city, right. Okay.
Say it again.
It's currently at 4%.
Currently, well, to... It's higher. It's 8.2 CPI.
I understand that part of it. But
yeah.
What I'm trying to say is this like 4% above what we're currently paying?
Yes. So okay. It is an increase to that cost. So.
Gotcha.
With businesses.
With the business.
The business.
The
right.
Businesses.
Yeah. Gotcha. Clarify. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
The next item is the downtown stage and courtyard sign installation.
Mayor, for Mayor and Council to consider approval of installation of replacement plaques and stage signs spelling out the name of Frankie Mae Arnold on the stage. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Mr. Heath, second by Ms. Davis. Any questions or comments? Any comments? And I can't see it. Mr. Whitmore, any comments?
I was just waiting to hear staff's presentation, Mayor.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Go ahead.
This is pursuant to the work session presentation discussion we had at the last council meeting, mm-hmm. where the item was presented to add the lettering to the stage downtown, mm-hmm. as well as to replace the plaques, both of which were displayed at the last council meeting. But that was during a work session. So we're simply bringing the same information forward from that work session, but now on a regular agenda to seek council approval.
Okay. Everybody has clarity on it. Did you hear that, Mr.
Well,
Whitmore?
We also discussed the additional requests, right? So where does that...
Yes, and that is in process. Okay. But it takes longer than 2 weeks for us to be able to price out the plaques for GMC campus. We're researching the naming policy as well. And so that is in process, Mayor Pro Tem, and so we're currently working on that. This presentation for this item is specific to the letter that's already been purchased and the plaque that's already been purchased as well. So with council approval, we would move forward with those installations.
Right, and the rededication plaque
yes.
of this governing body.
Okay, that's the question I want to ask right along the when you said rededication of a plaque. My question is, just so I'm real clear, we're not talking about replacing the actual apparatus, but as it relates to the men and women that actually were on council that approved that, we're not replacing the...
It's in addition to.
Okay, so I'm trying to make sure I'm real clear how that'll look.
So,
and the reason why, just so we be clear, members of council, the reason that's concerning is because in this case, what is known as the legacy... For those members of council that was here, that's whether you're talking about Duncan Parr, the courtyard. I'm trying to make sure we don't erase the legacy members that were here.
The presentation at the last work session and the item before you today is to replace the damaged plaque that was on the wall.
Right.
Correct.
And if you could, Dr. Parks, just bring up the conditions of the previous plaques. This is the quality of the new plaques. The plaques are weighted,
right.
and the letters are raised. And the plaque, this is one of the dedication plaques that was the Trailblazer Award for Ms. Arnold.
Can you bring just a little closer so the members of council can see it, for those like me that can't see that far?
Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Speak up.
An assessment for council. If you can go to the slide of Ms. Betty Hanna's, the condition of her. One more, go back. So, as you see, we'll need to replace
Correct.
Her plaque as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Whitmore, since I can't see you, sir, did you have any questions?
Questions and a comment, Mayor.
Go ahead, sir.
First of all, thank you, Ms. Sylvia. For what you have presented thus far. Unfortunately, I don't have the luxury of filling that nice plaque that you currently have in your possession, but I did read the specs on it with the raised lettering, and it's my understanding, based on your research and based on what we will be putting up now, will withstand weathering for years and years to come. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. The materials that were selected are consistent with what's called memorial plaques. So they will not weather. The lettering will remain the same, and the condition will remain the same as well.
Okay. Now, in light of that, Mayor, just another side conversation in reference to that, and I already heard you mentioning the one plaque that we have on the pillar to the left. As you're coming into the stage and courtyard area. And I know my colleague, Mayor Pro Tem, mentioned that with the lettering going up, with the rededication, and also recognizing the current council. Just for consideration, that second new plat that would be made and placed, the consideration would be, Ms. Abernathy, would be to the right of the entranceway, but it would be the same height and the same width as what you're putting up on the left with the previous council or with the previous administrations that and the individuals that were involved with that. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. The replacement plaque that was ordered is actually a 42 by 24 plaque that actually will go on the side of the stage. So it will be visible, but it will be much larger than the existing plaque. The new dedication plaque, however, will be the same size, a little bit larger than this trailblazer plaque. So if
with the raised lettering.
Yes, sir. So if you're facing the stage, the trailblazer plaque will be on your left at the entry point, and the dedication plaque will be on your right.
Okay, thank you. And Mayor, if I may take this opportunity to reinsert comments in reference to the campus. Again, I understand that the attorney is reviewing what can and cannot be done as far as renaming of the campus. But I would submit to you and to my colleagues something that can be done immediately with the pleasure of Mayor and Council is that dedication of the administration building with Betty Hanna's name on it. While she may not be able to recognize what's going on, but she's still alive and among us now, and her family will be with her as well. I would really love for us to really consider doing that more quickly than to prolong it any longer than has been so far.
Does any member of council have any comment to that?
I totally agree with that, that the former Mayor Hanna's name be placed on the administrative building, just like we're naming the stage for Frankie Arnold, and that the research continues regarding renaming the campus for her. And included in that would be also an additional dedication plaque as well.
Mayor Pro Tem, to your point, and Councilman Whitmore as well, we will have an item to bring forth at the next council meeting for your consideration as it relates to Councilman Whitmore's point about the administration building being a shorter term issue. And so we've been prepared to bring that forward. We are researching some of the other issues, as you mentioned, as relates to the additional plaque and some of the other considerations. But to move expeditiously for the administration building, we'll be prepared to present something for Mayor and Council's consideration at the next council meeting.
Thank you.
And let me thank those members of council because per our conversation, our last meeting, my position basically was that whatever we do for one venue, we definitely need to do it for another. In this case, I'm affirmatively give honor what honor's due. In this case, we're honoring Ms. Arnold, who, in this case, the first African American mayor of the African American elected official of this city, but we're also, I think it's only due to honor the longest serving mayor of this city, and that's Ms. Betty Hanna. So the first longest serving mayor of this city, which says a lot. And so with that being said, there's a motion on the floor, already properly second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries.
Mayor, may I ask a related question? Doesn't have to do with this particular, but it's related regarding sign.
Go ahead.
May I? So I just wanted to ask, I don't know if it's you, Ms. Abernathy, or Ms. Payne, Park and Rec, but I noticed that the sign is missing off of the pool house in Duncan Park, the dedication sign. And so I'd, one, like to know what happened to it, and two, the process for reinstalling and reinstating that.
Yes, ma'am. I can't speak to what happened to the sign, but I do know that Ms. Payne and I have spoken and shared notes. She's contacting the same company to have a replacement sign for the pool.
Okay.
So she has, I believe that's something that's going to be forthcoming. But we have spoken, we've shared notes, and that's going to be ordered.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I took a vote already. Yes. So yes. Go to the next item.
The next item is ordinance to approve the FY 2021-22 budget amendment.
Okay. Before you go, Mr. Finance Director, I want to make a comment about this as well. While we're bringing partially this inquiries, you know, from inquiries that Durham Lakes issues that required us to spend additional funding in a legal department to expenditures as relates to some of the hearings that just took place, we've had unexpected costs that we have to address. And I think many of you will agree, based on just one of the hearings that just recently commenced, that we probably saved ourselves a lot of money with the additional cost that we had to pay the city attorney's department as relates to basically, in this case, being able to show that we are operating in fair and due process. I just thought it was very imperative that I let you know that the money or the additional amendments that we're asking for, which I'll let the finance director speak, is a result of in our efforts to make sure that we're conducting business not only in decent order, but that we're actually spending funding that we know that, based on possible litigation, that we can actually stand up and be able to say that we've gone through due process because we actually spent money that would properly assess issues that we're not, none of us are here legally able to assess. So with that being said, Mr. Finance, ready to go ahead.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members and the citizens of Fairburn. I come before you with a proposal to amend the fiscal year 22 budget and establish the ordinance. Next slide, please.
Okay.
Currently, our FY22 budget in our general fund is $21,220,184. Our proposed budget amendment is to increase the budget to $21,618,810, which is roughly a 1.87% increase. The budget amendment will impact 11 departments. Four department budgets will decrease, and funding will be realigned to other departments. The net impact will be an increase of $398,626. Next slide.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our revenues will also be adjusted to account for the increase in budgetary expenditures. Our revenues budget will increase from $21,220,184 to $21,618,810. The adjustments will be in our taxes and contributions, donations, revenue lines. Tax revenues will be adjusted by $365,626, and our contribution/donations line will be adjusted by $33,000 for a total of $398,626 to offset the increase in our expenditures. Four of the eight budget amendments were approved in prior council meetings. As you can see on your screen, on January 24th, the transfer for the digital marketing manager position from the Economic Development Department to the Office of the Mayor and Council. On the 14th, the establishment of the Deputy City Clerk position. On March 28th, the transfer of the Building Tech position to the Streets Department, which direly needed that position. On May 9th, 2022, an establishment of the Procurement Manager position, which funding is being realigned from the Fire Department to the Finance Department. Currently, as I stand before you today, funding that has not been approved are the City Administrator's Office to increase their funding for $137,626 for, as Mayor said earlier, legal fees, economic development consultant, and the staff retreat that we plan to go on to bring all your visions to life. The next request is for the Finance Department to increase their budget to $66,000 to account for the merchant fees, new computers, monitors, and supplies for the procurement manager that was already approved. The next portion is our court services. We need to increase our court services to $83,000 to cover for the court costs. As we've been virtual, more and more court proceedings have been coming to life. So we, as of right now, have more people doing online courts than we do in actual face-to-face. So the court costs are also increasing, so we need to adjust for that as well. The last thing on this list is our recommendation for the Recreation Department to increase their budget by $112,000 for a new HVAC unit, because as of right now, the Recreation Department does not have AC or heat, and the summer's coming up and we have kids who are going to be in the recreation department that direly need the HVAC, and to also put funds in the budget for the Fairburn Festival that mayor and the council are expecting for us to provide to the citizens and meet their goals. Next slide, please.
Well, he's not finished yet.
Okay.
Question?
Another question on an item here.
Okay, I was going to bring, I guess I was going to let him do his presentation and then.
That's fine. We'll do it that way.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can wait.
Currently, our FY22 budget and our other funds total $38,403,234. Our proposed amendment is to increase the budget to $38,597,542, which is roughly 0.5% increase. Next slide, please. Our revenues will also be adjusted to account for the increase in budgetary expenditures. Our revenues budget will increase from $38,403,234 to $38,597,542. Next slide. The adjustment will be in our grants fund. The change will increase the grants fund from $4,029,583 to $4,223,891, an increase of $194,308. So the funding increase is brand new. It's an increase of $194,308, which is to move funding previously established last year's budget for the LMEG funding, which is work that's being done in this current fiscal year. But that money was never carried over, so we're just requesting funds that we already have to be carried over in this fiscal year, so that way the project can continue and finish. Next slide, please. Mayor and Council, we bring this proposal to you for your review and consideration. The staff would like for you to approve this amendment so that we may continue to bring your goals and visions to fruition and continue to provide excellent services to the residents of the City of Fairburn. Thank you for your time. I yield the floor to questions.
When I do, members of council, I bring the item to the floor, and then, Ms. Davis, you can ask the first question. Mm-hmm. You, members of council, you have before you staff recommends for mayor and council to approve an ordinance for the proposed fiscal year 2021-22 budget amendment. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. And Ms. Davis, go ahead. You had a question.
Yeah. Yes. I just want to inquire about the court services, the $83,000 for court costs. You're saying we were doing it online and also in person. Is that going to continue? And what is the expenditure for that hybrid thing, if it's going to be hybrid?
So, if you may,
yes.
Davis, we have consulted with Judge Ewing during the pandemic. The Chief of the State Supreme Court met with local municipal court judges virtually, mm-hmm. and in essence directed them to continue their operations virtually. And speaking with Judge Ewing, they've actually been able to be more productive, hence the increase in processing fees and things of that nature associated with the court. Based on the last conversation with Judge Ewing, it is her expectation that for the foreseeable future, they will largely remain virtual. At some point, that may change, but as of now, their operation is largely virtual. The increased cost does include for some technology at the municipal court building for those who may have technology challenges at home and can't connect virtually at home. We will have opportunities for them to do so at the municipal court building. So that's where the hybrid model comes in. There are some citizens who, for various reasons, either don't have the ability to connect virtually from home.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that that's not a barrier. And so some of that funding will help to create that hybrid model so that those who have a need to do so can still come to the municipal court building and connect virtually that way as well.
Okay. So it's more efficient virtually?
Yes, and that's the information that we've gotten from Judge Ewing, that it's more efficient. And though we are at a better point, the pandemic is not actually over.
Yep,
In many regards, and so there's still some uncertainty as to where things will go in the fourth quarter of the year. And considering that they've been more efficient and being able to process more cases virtually, that is what many magistrate courts across various cities are continuing to do.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Whitmore and then Mr. Heath.
Thank you, sir. I guess the question would be directed towards our city administrator, and still in line with talking about court services. So, is more efficient by them doing it online. Have we found that those numbers, I know we haven't had court in a while, but are they catching back up to where, based on it being efficient, have we gotten to a point where we're reducing those numbers and getting caught up?
I will get exact numbers for you, Councilman Whitmore, so that I don't have to answer this in generalities. But that is my understanding, is that the efficiency has allowed them to begin making progress. They've been meeting virtually for some time now. Mm-hmm. So I think they have been able to make some headway. But I'd like to be able to provide those numbers for you in more detail to give you a specific answer to that question.
Okay. And also, I guess we're doing it virtually how many times a week?
Once a week currently.
Once a week currently? Okay, thank you. Also, you are finance director, sir. I was also looking at economic development. I mean, that's a major, major area within the city of Fairburn, and I see we're looking at reducing that. And I don't know if you have the answer or if the city administrator has the answer to that, but that was a concern of mine, and I was just looking for an explanation for that.
Yes, sir. We didn't reduce their budget when it comes to their operations. What was done was the position that was in economic development was moved to the mayor's office. So the only funds that was removed was just the salary of the employee.
So Dr. Parks was previously in the Office of Economic Development, and currently, as you know, he is serving as the chief of staff of the mayor. So that's what that move was. And actually, we are proposing to invest more into economic development. If you look under the funding request for the city administrator is for economic development consultant fees. And so I agree with you wholeheartedly, Councilman Whitmore. It is a key area for us as we talk about at the retreat. And so we've got some definitive plans to invest more in that area. That one item that you noted was a position move. We are definitely going to put more resources into economic development.
Okay. Thank you for that, sir.
And Mr. Whitmore, can I address one other previous concern you had about the court? We're also, myself, in consultation with Judge Ewing, in this case, a position that's vacant right now that's going to help with the efficiency. There's a position that she's trying to help fulfill. I want to just let you know that's part of the concern that she has. So she's looking at every area of operation trying to maintain the level of efficiency. So I just wanted you to know, when we talked about staffing citywide, that was actually inclusive of the court as well.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mayor.
Yes, sir. Any other question, Mr. Heath? I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the American Rescue Act.
Yes, sir.
Have we received our money from them at this time?
We've received the first portion, but not the second trough yet. It should be released sometime in July. They haven't given us the definite date yet.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, they were talking last year that it would be paid sometime in March. Is that true? Or
The allocations are 12 months apart, so when we received the first allocation, it was in July. So we're not going to receive our second one until next July.
Until July,
yes.
Thank you. No
problem. Any other questions about this item? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
If I may?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add a little clarity to the economic development planning that we are doing. You probably noted that we have Mr. Christopher Pike in attendance with us this evening, and he will, in fact, be working with us going forward with some consultancy in our economic development area. So we're excited about his experience, which is vast, being added to our team here at Fairburn. So he'll be working along with Ms. Sylvia to ensure that we advance our economic development.
Great. Next item.
The next item is item number 5, ordinance to amend Chapter 65 of the Code of Ordinances for post-construction, stormwater management, and new development and redevelopment.
Again, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This request is to amend Chapter 65 of the Code of Ordinances for the post-construction, stormwater management, for new development and redevelopment. I'd like to expand on that. The Georgia Environmental Protection Division, the EPD, requires local jurisdictions with municipal separate storm sewer system, which is considered the MS4, permits to adopt ordinances or update existing ordinances when necessary for compliance within their MS4 report. In order to address development and redevelopment,
and enforce post-construction controls. Recent updates to the MS4 permit now require the stormwater management system to be designed to retain 1-inch of rainwater on the site and to the maximum extent practical, and has prompted an update to existing ordinances. And at this time, I'd like to ask the city attorney to expand on the ordinance that were presented to us.
Excuse me.
I'll simply say that per EPD requirement, these amendments were made. My office made the amendments to make them fly and comport with the EPD requirements, consistent with what Mr. Martin just laid out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Members of council, you have before you to adopt the ordinance to amend Chapter 65 of the Code of Ordinances in compliance with the mandate by the Georgia Environmental Protection Division. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. A motion made by Ms. Portis Jones and second by Ms. Davis. Any questions or comments? Any comments, Mr. Whitmore?
No, Mayor.
Okay,
thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Next item is ordinance to amend Article 12, I think that's right, of Chapter 65 of the Code of Ordinances.
Mayor and Council, this ordinance amendment will protect the public health, safety, environment, and general welfare through the regulation of litter. In May 2020, the City of Fairburn expressed a good faith effort to comply with this mandated plan. The last district audit wants to ensure the city's litter ordinance includes incorporating a fine of no less than $200 and no more than $1,200. Our current ordinance, which is Section 1 through 15, provides a maximum fine of $1,000, but no minimum. That is what the district wants revised in this particular ordinance amendment. Are there any questions?
Members of council, you have before you for mayor and council to approve the ordinance to amend Article, what number is that?
12.
Article 12 of Chapter 65 of the Code of Ordinances to adopt certain provisions of the Model Litter Control Ordinance as recommended by the Georgia Environmental Protection Division. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there
second?
Second.
Davis.
Motion is made and second by Ms. Davis. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
It's an appointment to the Development Authority and the Downtown Development Authority.
Members of Council, this is a recommendation that's being made to you by myself, by Mr. David Stevenson. You received an information memo over the weekend as it relates to the purpose of appointing this gentleman. Again, one of the things that as we restaff our Development Authority to execute and help implement the economic plan that was discussed earlier in the 3 R's. we're looking at either bringing men and women in with the business acumen and or men and women that will have the relationships that will bring us in non-traditional markets. So that's why Mr. Stevenson is being recommended. Mayor and Council, you have before you, I would like to appoint Mr. David Stevenson to the Development Authority and the Downtown Development Authority. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion is made by Mr. Palin, second by Ms. Davis. Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. At this point, I'd like the finance director's monthly report.
Good evening once again, Mayor and Council. I come before you this evening to provide the City of Fairburn's financial report for the month ending on April 30th, 2022. The City of Fairburn's general fund concludes its seventh month of operations with $7.2 million in net cash flows. To date, the general fund has generated $16 million in revenues, $8.8 million in general fund expenditures. As of April 30th, the city has collected 75% of its year-to-date revenues, which is a 5% increase from last month. To date, the city has expensed 42% of the budget. Next slide, please. Out of the $21 million of revenue budgeted, the city has collected 16 million 12 thousand, 16 million 12, a little bit over $16 million. Thank you. A 7% increase from last month.
That was cute.
In the month of April, the city has collected $1,026,517 in revenues. As this pace continues, we are on track to collect our revenue budget. Next slide, please. As of April 30th, the city's year-to-date expenditures is $8,951,386, which equates to 42% of the budget. Next slide. We have currently collected 95% of our billed property taxes for this fiscal year. The staff is working diligently to send out notices for current and previous tax billing dues. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. The City of Fairburn's Enterprise Fund concludes the seventh month of operations with $1.9 million of net cash flows. To date, the Enterprise Fund has generated $11 million in revenues with $9.2 million in Enterprise Fund expenditures. As of April 30th, the city has collected 55% of its year-to-date revenues, a 7% increase from last month. To date, the city has expensed 45% of its budget in the enterprise funds. Next slide, please. Our current enterprise fund revenue budget is $20,303,775. And to date, the city has collected $11,181,417 in the month of April, a 14% increase from last month. In the month of April, the city has collected $1.4 million in revenues. Next slide, please. The city's year-to-date expenditures is $9,252,088, which equates to 45% of the budget. This concludes my financial report. I now open up the floor for any questions the council may have.
Does any member of council have any questions? Ms. Go ahead.
Yes. So we are 67% into the budget year, and the expenditure is at 45%. Could you explain the slow spending, what's not being done, what's happening?
So with expenditures in the fiscal year, we have invoices that come in periodically, which and invoices that come in monthly. So within the city, we do have bulk invoices that come in towards the end of the fiscal year. So those won't be accounted for until we come closer to the end of the fiscal period.
Okay.
There's also a seasonal aspect, Mayor Pro Tem, to our expenses. Certain departments peak at certain times of the year. And the streets department is out during the growing season, cutting more grass, they're using more gas, more equipment, things of that nature. And so that in addition to what Mr. David just explained, there's a seasonal ebb and flow as well. So the expenses tend not to come in a linear manner. They tend to peak and ebb and flow throughout the year. And so that number fluctuates and typically balances out by the time we get to the end of the fiscal year.
Okay. And then could you tell me the status of our fiscal year 2021 audit?
So currently, we are 99% complete with that audit. We just have a little hiccup when it comes to reconciling with utilities, with the water and electric billing portion due to the migration. Our outside consultant, CPA Steve Garber, he's diligently working with Ms. Wakita Lane and utilities, and they're currently trying to figure out what that discrepancy was. And that's the only thing that's holding up for the audit from being completed right now.
Okay. And then my last question, and this may be premature, but thinking ahead, have you given thought to what the schedule will be for fiscal year 22-23 budgeting?
Yes, we have a budget calendar already. Actually, tomorrow, the entire staff is going to meet in this chambers for a training on the ClearGov portal that was approved by the council for us to do our FY23 budget. So they will be trained on how to submit their budget, and also within that portal, every council member will get a link, and you guys will be able to review the budget, provide your comments, and be interactive with us as we put this budget together for FY23.
Okay. And Mr. Phillips, the budget is just a document with numbers. It is based on something, right? And so the context of that budget is what came out of our retreat, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Any other?
And that budget calendar will be finalized this week and will be distributed to mayor and council.
Thank you.
Does any other member of council have a question for our finance? Okay, seeing none, Mr. City Manager.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. David. I am honored, as I am each month, to be able to present a brief summary of the city's monthly administrative activities. Hopefully you've had a chance in your agenda packet to see each of the department monthly reports that are provided. I just wanted to take a brief moment to touch on a few highlights. The very first at the top of my list is I am extremely honored to be able to work with the staff that we have here in the city of Fairburg. We've got some astounding, outstanding professionals in this city. Not only the new additions, Ms. Chris, Ms. Champagne, and several others that we've hired, Ms. Lane and several others, but our existing department heads have really stepped up to the plate and done an amazing job. And so we are constantly focused on our work together as a team, establishing the right culture. I'm very proud to work with these professionals and how they've stepped up to the plate. I don't want to start singling out individuals because I may leave someone out, but I will tell you that we are in the process each day of building one of the best staffs anywhere in the state of Georgia. I earnestly believe that, and they're stepping up to the plate. I don't pick up trash. I don't cut grass. I don't do any of that. And so the best thing I can do is make sure that I support and help to build the best staff around. And I think we're on the way to doing that. So I just want to thank our staff for the work that they do each and every day. That's not just the department directors. That's down to every single employee in the city. And so I'm grateful for the work that they do every day and consider it a privilege to be able to work with them. A couple of other brief highlights. You heard about our class and comp study. It's going to be a major initiative for us. We're looking forward to that as well. We did recently in the past month meet our ARPA reporting deadline. Well within the time allotted. I want to thank the finance team for pulling that together. Also, we hired another new 9 employees across 7 departments this past month, and so we are leaning very proactively into recruiting. A lack of staff is a significant service issue for us. Our streets department, as you know, has been understaffed for an extended period of time. We will have a career fair on this Wednesday. We've been advertising that. We've used some radio advertising. It's been on social media. We've created some hiring incentives as well. We have to try something different. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same result. And so we're doing everything we can to be proactive about filling these positions. When I met with the street department staff recently, we talked about a lot of things. One of the first things they told me is we need more people. And so we're doing everything we can, not only in that department, but across the board, to continue to proactively hire. The third Fridays on Main event has gone exceedingly well. We had a great time this past Friday. It is creating a sense of community for us in the city. Other cities are starting to realize the good things that are happening here in Fairburg, and so we want that to continue, and we'll continue building on that as well. We welcomed a new business last month, and Restored Promises, and so we're continuing to grow downtown in the right direction as well. Lastly, we will have a staff retreat on this Thursday. And the purpose of that is to take all of the visionary and hard work that you as a mayor and council did at our recent mayor and council retreat. Now we have to take that and turn it into nuts and bolts planning. Attach key performance indicators. Make sure that we take those plans and make them day-to-day operational. It's also time for us as a team to get together to talk about how we work together, to talk about the work environment that we're trying to set in this city. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about pulling our team together. So all of your directors will be at a staff retreat on Thursday, but business will continue as usual. And so nothing will be disrupted, but they will be at a staff retreat for the business day on Thursday. We'll have some facilitation by GMA as well. And so we're excited about that and the big impact that will have as we get into our budget planning for FY23. So this is kind of precursor to that. And so with that, I will answer any questions you may have about the city administrator's report.
Does anyone have any questions? Mr. Whitmore, you got any questions, sir?
No, sir. How can you follow up after that? He covers everything.
Well, I'd like to, I think this is the right place to do that. I was walking in the park yesterday, which I try to do, every day or every other day. But we need to have a garbage can at the dog fountain. And And I understand we also need one up near the, in the parking lot, on the other side of the playground equipment in that area. And then thirdly, back to the dog park, I noticed that the plants, I thought they were perennials, they are not thriving, so I think they're all dead. So it would be nice to have some new plantings out there before we open this weekend.
So thank you for all three of those. We have not only landscaping issues at the park, which we will address, as you heard earlier from one of our citizens, we have some landscaping issues downtown. So know that that is on our radar. The mayor and I had an extended discussion about that recently, and so you will see improvements forthcoming.
Including Fairburn, the shrub.
Yes, ma'am. Including that,
yes,
as well.
Yes, okay. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Any other comments on the manager's report? Seeing none, I'll start. Okay, so I'll actually go with the city council comments. I'll start with the mayor pro tem.
I just want to congratulate the staff for the third Friday and the collaboration and partnership with the Taste of Soul Food. I got overwhelming positive feedback from various people. And Mayor, all of your invited guests, they loved the opportunity to sit at the, you know, white linen tablecloth right in front of the stage. Mm-hmm. You know, so that just kind of elevated us to another level. But the ambiance was, I mean, you could just feel it. And it was just arm-to-arm people that were there. Everybody just had a really grand time. And so I just wanted to congratulate the staff on that and to encourage you to keep up the good work, and you got to outdo yourself.
Okay, Mr. Pallant.
On we go.
Okay. And Ms. Davis?
Yes, I want to just also mimic Mayor Pro Tem Patty Portis. Hattie Portis Jones, had a great time Friday. It was awesome. I mean, it was just a sea of people. The staff did a fantastic job. That was something I know wasn't easy to pull off, especially when you're collaborating with, you know, another entertainment source. The Taste of Soul Food. So I had a really good time. I know a lot of people couldn't tell, but it was fabulous. I got my dance on. The other thing I just want to simply say is that I am excited about the future of the city of Fairburn. I really, really am. And that, you know, talking about sleepless nights, that is really, it's just, you know, I can't say any words cannot express the feeling that I have for the city. I'm very proud to be a part of the city of Fairburn. So thank you, staff. Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Thank you, Mayor. It's just awesome.
Mr. Heath.
Yes, sir. Just want to congratulate our staff on everything that they have done. There's just seemingly such a camaraderie now that it's just unbelievable how a short time can change things. And I'm just appreciative of the fact that each of you work to make sure our citizens are taken care of, because they're the ones that we work for. And I've heard nothing but compliments here lately about, well, even from employees, to be honest with you, about how they are enjoying coming to work and volunteering to do other things that they didn't volunteer for before. And the citizens have noticed that. I mean, they even though we had a lot in here tonight focused on the subdivision, some of those same people have complimented the city of Fairburn on the way that it is operated. And I'm just so thankful not to go out in a crowd of people and people complaining. Now, they are still complaining about that median on 29 Highway. But I can't do nothing about that.
not yet.
And the mural.
Yeah, and the mural. I forgot about that. But all in all, everything is fantastic, and I just appreciate everything y'all are doing, including our city attorney. You're taking care of us, brother.
Yeah.
You really are. And you don't know how much I appreciate that.
And our planning and zoning.
Okay, Mr. Whitmore.
Thank you, Mayor. Goes without saying, I've been communicating a lot with the city administrator. He takes my phone call, and sometimes it's four times a day. But what's interesting is that he always has answers, and the answers that he's delivering is filled with real good information. And I just want to say publicly that I appreciate that, sir. Also, in light of that, I also like to say that what we talked about tonight with the DRB group, I think that by us looking at everything, and what's the one thing that our citizens have been asking for? They've been asking for sit-down restaurants, white cloth table sit-down restaurants, and another grocery store. Well, in order to do that, we need the rooftops. And I think we're well on the way to do that. So I'm just glad that we're moving in that direction. Also, in light of the plaques for both the stage and courtyard and also the campus, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm looking forward for that to be completed as well. I'd just like to thank staff. All those that are involved with that, it means a lot. And last but not least, technology is an amazing thing. Y'all just don't know, but the mayor kept texting me throughout this whole meeting asking me if I have questions, and I didn't know he can text so fast. But just want to thank Mayor Avery, Dr. Parks, Ms. James, and also the city administrator. I know it took some doing to make this happen so I can be live with you instead of here at home versus being there. And based on the concerns that I have, I think you would rather have me here. So that being said, hopefully my test results will be negative on Wednesday, but still was looking forward to doing my part as elected official and participating in the council meeting. So again, I'd like to thank all those involved that made it happen. It was one of those things that after having a conversation with the mayor, probably about 11, 12 o'clock this morning, and then the ball started rolling. So thank you to all those involved. We appreciate it. That's it for me, Mayor.
Thank you, sir. My comments, first of all, what's forthcoming is information to council. I'm trying to get a confirmation. We're going to, at the GMA conference, that's Friday night, we'll actually be dining with our city attorney's office, and those guests have already been established. You're going to get a formal invite from Atlas that will be hosting a very similar event that Saturday night. I'm waiting. Dr. Parks is actually confirming the invitation that I can actually send to you guys, hopefully within the next 7 days. Mr. City Manager's already, City Administrator already talked about the staff retreat. I'm excited about what I believe is going to make a mark in this city that will be talked about for decades once they go through what we went through. That retreat, again, I want to thank Council for the vision that we came up with as it relates to the 3 R's. The concert Friday night, we were actually able to ask people over and over, would you please download the app doing? I think he did it every 30 minutes.
Yes, sir.
And so that they could see the agenda that the city council and myself actually came up with that the staff is actually going to execute. Again, a great community third Friday, Vet Friday, with all those politicians running for office. Get this stuff out of there. And so I'm not trying to host that no time soon in election season. I want to just mention the Arbor funding without going into great detail. In the very upcoming meetings, you're going to get a project list that we talked about in our
in our retreat. The reason I bring that up is because a situation after going to the mayor's Metro Mayor's meeting tomorrow, there's a risk of funding to be snatched back from cities. And based on the dynamics of the outcome in November's election, we may end up with a scenario where we're doing the project list. We're one of the few cities. I was just totally amazed that of the cities that actually told me they actually had no plan whatsoever as relates to what to do with the ARPA funding. We actually have it. We've got to get it approved and dedicated so that if it is being requested, only that money that's already been allocated won't be requested back. I say that as a commitment, as a commendation both to the staff and the city council, because again, I was just blown away with the number of two mayors I was sitting at the table with. I won't say which cities that were northern cities that just had no idea what they're going to do with the money. And so that cannot happen. We've got too much to do to turn around and get that ARPA money back. And so then finally, the job fair. We've heard staffing talked about. Please, as many, we've pushed it out as many ways I think that we can think of. We've got to ask your friends, family, please come and look at the jobs that we're offering, because we need bodies. Without going into great detail, as I talked to a mayor earlier today, that's in dire straits for just any kind of staff, as the person told me. So with that being said, I'm going to entertain a motion to go into executive session. Mr. City Attorney,
we do have
don't we have an executive session?
We do.
And I want to, all three areas, personnel,
all legal litigation.
Can I entertain a motion to go into executive session for litigation?
So moved.
Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.